session number 11460 or 7.
Alec Thompson, Rio 7. So who did you get a chauffeur's job for?
There were American people staying at Nether Byers, across the road here, you see. So I got their job for a private chauffeur. So the old man died before I went there, the old Bushley. But they still kept the house on for a certain period after I got there. And then she sold it again and went back to America. They were American, you see. So the proprietor, the man had bought it after that, he was Sir Christopher Furness of the Furness line, you know. He was the boss. And he bought Nether Byers then. And he kept me on for his chauffeur.
Now what was the job of a chauffeur in the 1920s?
That's it.
What did you have to do?
Well, you'd look after the cars to start with and do different driving jobs, you know. And then after the family came, I took the family out, you know, the youngsters, parents. And they wouldn't drive them themselves. I had to drive the parents away, but never drove them myself. Oh, it's just to me that, like I said, that's your pigeon, it's just to me. Oh, he's awful good, you know. By the way, awful good to me, mate. Both the sir and the lady for Furness and the family. Of course, the son, he's over Nether Byers now. He's the same who owns this house, you see. He's a colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Furness. He's an HLI man. So he's in charge of Nether Byers now. An awful nice man. So,
what sort of car did you have?
Oh, well, to go through them all, I'd have a page. To start with, the secret for here, a straight-eight sunbeam, you know, straight-eight cylinder. You're halfway across the road before you see anybody coming, with a big bonnet. So anyway, we got clear of that, and he got a Wolseley saloon for himself, you see. And he got a Chev, and he had a Rover, and had an Austin. And he had and then he put it that way and he got a Vauxhall. And then we had an Armstrong Sedley, pre-selecting gears. That was a limousine, you know, 9-seater. And they never drove that at all. I just drove that one.
So you had some nice cars to drive.
Oh, and there wasn't much speed about that big little Aston. Armstrong Sedley. It was built for the manager of the Armstrong Works. So anyway, we got clear of that when we got a 27. We got a 27 Vauxhall limousine 9-seater again. You see, that was a nice one. You see, just to go to all the big balls and that one, you know, the big parties. So we got a grand car. She had an Elvis. Lady Furness had an Elvis. That was her car. Nobody allowed to touch that car. That was gold. Only two, her and myself. She wouldn't let her old man drive it. Didn't tell him that. Oh, it was a great, great fun. It was a good selection of cars. And they were very good to me.
Did you miss that? I mean, you'd been a farmer and you'd liked horses. Did you miss all that?
Oh, well, they had horses there too. The boys had horses, you know, the sons. They had hunters. Oh, I used to take them. We had a big horse box too, you see. And I used to take that out too if I had a time. We had a Land Rover as well, I forgot to say, a Land Rover.
So you weren't cut off from horses then?
Oh, no, I used to help them. I used to show them when they were young, you know, how to clip and plait their tails and so on like that and groom them. Oh, I used to keep them in fur.
Did you have a uniform?
Oh, yeah, a blue suit, yes. A big, nice, well-dressed. And mine had them measured, made, Nymouth tailor, expert tailor. Even used to make my big coat, you know, the overcoat, you see. Used to buy the hat, of course, the cap, kid gloves. Oh, I wanted for nothing. Oh, plenty.
Now, you were doing that until the war started. the Second World War.
Yes, yes.
Now, you were... could you explain about the police? What were you in the police?
Well, before the war started, I was a special constable.
And what did that involve?
You would help the police any time or anything, start, like say a gala day thing, you see. You might have maybe... I had here. I got about 7 or 8 men and I with. I was a sergeant, you see, the specials. And I might have about... the 3 men on the pier and one at the crossroads and somewhere else. The difference just on a gala day. And you could be called out any time if you wanted them, you know. But luckily, we never had much trouble with them. And it helped the right police, like the full-time men. But I got on fine with them.
The war started... What happened? You tried to enlist, didn't
That's
you?
Right, yes.
Yeah. Tell us that story. What happened?
I went up to enlist. It says, oh, and...
Where at?
Up here. I'm with... I pleased you. Says, oh, no, Alec. He says, you're already in the forces. I says, oh, no. He always says, you're a special constable, you know.
What were you trying to enlist in? Was this...
Oh, just anything in the army. Any post, you know. Maybe help to drill them or something like that.
And he said you couldn't because...
I was he said, you can't, no, no, you can't, you see, you're already on the special constable, so that was me turned down. So the boss came down, the head policeman, you see, to examine me. So he says, well, he says, to put you away to another place to be policeman there, he says, that would mean somebody coming to fill your place again, you see. So he says, what I'm going to do with you, Alec, is to keep you here. Saying, you know everybody in Imo, so he said, it'll be very useful to the sergeant, you see. So I was kept here all the time of the war in Imo. Of course, I had the same mayor rank as the constable thing. I had the same everything. Everything was the same. Full power. Same as the rest of the constables.
You weren't a sergeant when you were...
No. But
you were a sergeant in the special.
In the special. Members. That's nothing to do with the regulars, see.
So... Did you work as a normal policeman?
Yes, just the same.
What about your old job as a chauffeur?
Oh, well, he told me now, he says, I know you're a chauffeur in other bars, you see. I says, yes. He said, tell you what to do then. He says, any time, he says, Sir Christopher wants me to say he's on leave and wants to take him to the station, he says, tell the sergeant. And he says, he'll let you wait to take him to the station.
So he was away at the war?
Yeah, well, the bus, oh, yeah, he was the Navy. Oh, yeah. He says, any time, he says, you can work in between yourselves. So the sergeant and I did fine, you know. He said, oh, Alec, you see, you want to be a son? It's quite all right. So you'll only be away about an hour anyway. So he was quite good that way. So I just still kept the other bars going, I still kept the house on, you see.
Now, what were your duties in the police then? What, while you were in all through the war, what were you doing then?
Oh, well, they varied. You never know where you're going to be called out. You know, a raid or something like that, or a break-in, or somebody wanted for something, you know.
What sort of crime was there during the war?
Well, deserters, and theft here and there, you know. Fish, even pension ropes. There was quite a few.
What about the deserters? Did you catch any?
Oh, yes. I caught one up at the Holiday Inn, that's not right to call it. I was up there doing a post, you know, meeting another constable from the other side. You get a signature that he's on that road at the same time. So here the boy was coming up the field and says, oh, I says, come on, I'm looking for you. What call are you? And he says, oh, Alec. He says, Alec, he says, yes, he says, I'm wrong. He says, come on, he says, I'll go down with you. So he just came down and went to the police station.
He gave himself up?
Oh, yes, no trouble at all. Oh, I used to work them all right, no trouble. Some of them used to... them, you know, telling them off or something like that, you know. There's one fellow who would take them up, the sergeant and I was taking me, he's all right, so-and-so. So I had him be the rest, you see, and the sergeant on the other side, he was kicking. So I could always remember going in the church corner along there. He says, who learned you that grip? I says, no you anyway. I had a grip on him. I says, no you anyway. Well, he was right. And there was another one, quartermaster, they were stationed up at a place they call near Yale Mill. Oh, this, not a foreign place there. Royal Scots Shoes, the leader of the station there, and Scott the Master Sergeant, he was there in Irish, you know. And you got too many drinks, and he was calling the girls all the different names, you know. I said, hey, I happen to be there, another fellow with me. I said, just cut that out. I said, we don't know, I don't allow that language here. If you learn it in your camp, I said, we don't hear. So I said, shut up. So you don't. I said, you? Huh. He says, have you got your identity card? I says, yes, but I says, you won't be seeing it. But I said, I'll tell you something, son. I said, I'll be seeing you before you're much older. He says, fair. I says, I'll just keep you in mind just a minute. I said, then you start to shout your words here, man. So anyway, finished up, we went to take a turn. So I went off the station, up the police station, up there. So I said, get your boots off, wipe your pockets out, put them on the bench there. He says, I don't know what I says, you will. So I said, if you don't, I said, I'll take your boots off for you, quick. So anyway, he got stripped out. I said, hey, I know, I couldn't get your money. And I said, hey, Art, sign that. And I said, that's what you're good. I said, we're in the safe box there, so you get when you go out. So he was raised. So they called my mate, they called him Bob Douglas, constable along with me. So they were standing at the gate of the cell door, and I was happy to, you know, I thought he was going to keep him all night. Put the rubber mattress on the bottom of the bed, you see, box of the wood bed. It was a nice bed, mind, up there in the wood. So he was going to use a tap for the back, you know, and you remember thinking it's a lie, but it's as sure as I'm sitting here. It's just only about good luck. Bob Douglas, that was my mate, just telling me, he said, look at Alec. So you know he's going to have a run at me, and I was head down, and I was putting a leg up, you know. Gave him a push like that, and I must have got him in the tummy, so he went upside down. I said, then again, I was a bit of a horse, I kicked. Oh, he was fair fighting. Oh, dear me, what a state he was in. He said, I'll get you something. I said, say to us, and I said, like your kind. I said, it's going to get me. I said, take back there. I said, you ring up the police station here. I said, bring one man with you, and I said, I'll take one man with me, and I said, we'll meet halfway. To the side of the bridge. But I said, I'll not go over the bridge, but I says, you will. Oh, I didn't offer. Bob Douglas, I think I see Bob yet. Is that fellow still in course, Bob Douglas? I think I see him at standing laughing. Oh, well, he says, you're a whole lot of terror. I said, oh. Oh, dear.
How many policemen did you have?
Up here, well, there was the sergeant, and there was Bob, and myself, and another special.
That's all?
That was all then. And plus, the specials came on if you wanted them. See what I mean? But they was the regulars at the time.
And how many? What was your sort of beat? Your daily routine?
About what? Mile and a, nearly 2 miles inland there, and halfway to Coldingham, halfway to Eton, halfway to a farm up there, Redhall, and then Burnmouth Station. Now, mind that, we'd had a bicycle, hadn't a car then, so we were cycling. Of course, and fine, you had to go get your book signed, you see. That you were on that bit at that time.
And who signed your book? Where was
You would sign my book, you see, and I would sign yours.
So you'd meet people meet
your fellows at the time at that different place, you see. Well, say it was at Ale Milgan, you see. The Coleman man would come there, and the Aiton man would come there, and the Nymouth man would come there. That was three, see.
And you'd meet at a set time?
Set time, yeah. Had to be, say, at 5 o'clock. On Harley Down, that was the next one, but you only met one there, that was the Coldingham man, you see, and Dymouth man. And the next time, you would meet the Aiton man at halfway up the Aiton through Dymouth at Millbank, you see. And the next night, when it was done, you go to Burnmouth Station and meet the Aiton man again, that was his route again, and Dymouth again, you see, well, you do all that signature, you see. And then the boss would come to you and say, have a look at your book, you had your blue book in your pocket here, you know, you'd have a look at it. Yes, quite satisfactory. And the bargain.
So you just cycled round?
Cycled round, yes. No car, cycled round.
And would you see much happening?
Oh, well, now and again, sometimes very, very little. Very, very quiet.
And you do this round?
Yes, yes.
And what else would you have to do?
Oh, the street duty.
What was that?
Well, the patrol.
On foot?
On foot.
Round Eyemouth?
Round Eyemouth, yes. You remember, in night time you went round the shops, seen all the doors were locked, shop doors, for midnight, and go back to the police station, see, and report there, you're finished.
Would there be a night duty?
Well, you see, he was always on duty. I had the phone, you see. I was seeing me getting called out maybe 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Sergeants.
Would you actually have a night patrol?
No, there was no night patrol then.
So it was just if someone rang up?
That's someone that rung up for you.
Would somebody be on duty in the station?
Well, they say the sergeant was in the station.
And he lived there?
He lived there, you see. And he used to phone me and say, well, like, hurry up, try and get across to the end of the road, you see. I'll meet you in as quick as you can. I have to get my bed and get my uniform on at the end of the road there.
So what sort of thing would that be?
Something
like?
So maybe meeting somebody was showing lights up. Lights, you know.
Oh, you had to watch the blackout?
Oh, by Joe, by Rocket.
You did that?
Oh, everybody.
Wasn't there any ARP?
Oh, ARP as well, yes, yes. Oh, yes, the patrolmen. Oh, yes, the ARP, they were out. I forget who many was in that ARP, you know. They were a big help, too, during the war.
Where exactly was the police station in Eyemouth?
Well, on the main road up here from Eyemouth to Collingham, on the right-hand side, the big pole goes right up into the ARP. It's all reconditioned over when I was there.
And you had some cells there as well?
Oh, yes, there's two cells.
But would you often have anyone in there?
Oh, yes, oh, sometimes. Some of these peddlers, you know, selling on the roadside. Used to go in there drunk, keep them for a night and charge them.
Now, what about the raids? I believe you saw one raid.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Well, I was at the corner down here, and I heard this plane coming up. And there's a bum, 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 you know. That's a funny sort of sound, it's stuff like in German. So he went up right up to St. Tab's head, and I trailed him all the time, of course.
You could see him?
Oh, I could see him, of course.
Is it daylight?
Daylight, oh, daylight. A fairly good eyesight. So he went up, and then he turned, he went, dived down a wee bit, you see, and he turned and came back here, and he doing like this, you know, diving down. So when he got off, this where I was standing there, you know, on the roadstead there, on the seaside, I seen the flap, the doors open. Oh, by Joe, I say, it's a blooming Jerry, you know, to myself. So I heard the bombs drop, so I just came back here, and the wife was in. I said, that's a German plane. She said, oh, she says, I heard the bombs. I said, that's right. I said, you heard the bombs, all right. So I just phoned the sergeant, you see, up the police station. So I said, the bombs, it's a plane, sergeant. I said, German, I said, drop bombs. I said, do you know about the marketplace there, or the kirk? He says, go down the Nalik, he says, and see what's doing. He says, no, we're doing. So when I went in the windows, it was, you know, sucked out, and some havoc down there. So there were some of the specials turned out, so I got them posted to different shops. So the sergeant came in, you know, see the windows was all out. So luckily everything went off fine. So there was only one woman sort of hurt, that was all. Very, 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 very fortunate. So that was the bombing. And there was one bomb went down, but didn't explode, went right across, and there was two girls, I forget their name now. One was a girl, Dixon, right across the harbour, and then across right to the other side, went up and explored the top, and then the detonators was on the top of the van. Detonators. Fuses and detonators.
That was the same raid?
Same. No, another. That was another raid.
But you didn't see that, right?
No. Detonators. And I got the detonators and took them up to the police station. They said there wasn't a few carrying them up, might have exploded fuses and detonators. Anyway, there was nobody killed. That was that.
That was the only two raids?
Two raids, that's it.
Anything else you remember?
There was one boat in the harbour that was blown to pieces. There's one bit.
Which raid was that? The second one?
Second one, yes. And there was another. The bit up there was up, got up near the end of this road here, a bit of the boat. From there, the harbour right up to the explosion. So, again, I did the force here.
Well, the boat was blown right out of the harbour?
It was smashed to pieces. The engine hit was in the harbour, all the rest of the boat was smashed up. I forget the name of it now. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Anything else you remember about your service in the police during the war?
Oh, no. Well, there's one thing, but I don't like to talk about it, that's the thing. See, the fellow was a great friend of mine. He went away with his gun, going to shoot anybody that came near him. I'll not give you his name, so if anybody will have to hear it, I would not like it mentioned.
That's all right.
And he's going to shoot anybody that came near him, you know. There was a football game one that night up here.
What was he upset about?
Oh, just nerves, you know, it gave way. Must have been the name of the war or something.
Which war? The first?
First,
it?
The second war. So, he was going to shoot anybody that went near him, so the sergeant sent me down to the football field because he was maneuvering about, and everybody was up to 99, you know. So he told me to keep back or he'd blow the heat off me, so I asked him for the gun, you know, he wouldn't. And the minister went down, and he thought he'd get it through him. He's one of his elders, he says. I says, well, I says, you're not supposed to go near him. I says, definitely the police. I says, we have to be here. But I says, you've got to watch out. So he says, if you come near me, he says, I'll shoot you and all. So it's a difficult sort of job. Anyway, we were maneuvering, and then Bob Douglas, that was my mate, like, he came down, he was sent him to the sergeant. The sergeant didn't come down, mind. He kept in the office. So Bob Douglas came down and I told Bob the same story. And by Joe, he says, Eric, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, I'll tell you what to do. I says, I'll try him. I says, you were ready to run. I said, I'll see if I can do. And he said, he had a double barrel gun, you know.
Shotgun.
Oh, yeah. So I said, maybe I'll shoot you and all if you go over near. He says, what are we going to do? I said to you, I says, if I can get a chance at time, I could sprint these days, mate. I could run like a hare. So anyway, I says, you be ready. I says, if I can manage it, I said, if I didn't, well, I'll be shooting now. So I says, you ready to back us up. So anyway, I said to myself, right, here goes. So I made a dash for him. You know, I managed to down him. Got the gun, opened the gun up, took the cartridges out, and the fouling piece, because I could do the guns just like clockwork, you know. Took the fouling piece up and I chucked it out. He says, give me that gun. I says, oh no, of course, at that time, Bob was there, you know, he's holding him.
So you just ran at him?
I ran out. His back was turned a wee bit, you see, and I ran out. Oh, if it had turned around, I wouldn't have been sitting here talking to you.
It's a bit of a chance, wouldn't it?
Oh, I took a chance. Everybody said that. So anyway, of course, it was the talk of the town, you know, with me being so keen to get the gun off him. So the assistant chief came down. He had a talk, and he didn't think I was in the next room, I think, but I heard them talking, you see. So this is to the sergeant, he says, you know Gilly, yeah, you called him Gilly, Sergeant Gilly. He says, you know, that was a great job that Thompson done, talking to that man just like that, you know. He says, it's worth a good decoration, you know, he says, for the police. And then again, he says, with him being a reservist, he says, they'd want to know, well, he said 10, that's no, like, they'd want to know what the regulars were doing when he was doing it. Now that's as sure as I'm sitting here. But I didn't want any names, you know, because the folk was awful good to me. They couldn't do enough to help me. His wife and family. They used to get me in the neck and kiss and cuddle me when I went in to see them. Oh, I go, never, whatever, I'll give you. I says, nothing. I says, they want to give me this, they want to give me. I says, no, I says, I don't want anything.
Did he get charged, your friend?
Oh, no, I couldn't charge him. Oh, no, he's too far gone. Oh, no.
So and why was his nerve gone? Had he gone in the First War or in the Second War?
He was a farmer, and I don't know his nerves. I've seen him going. I think the war was bothering him too.
The Second War?
Second War. So the doctor, after I was looking after him down here doing in Eyemouth, so the doctor says, well, let the assistant doctor, Bell doctor, and says, I'm worn out, so I say, you'll have to do one thing or the other. So he says, I'll certify him, you know, and capable of looking after. So the sergeant says, well, I'll let you you've had the worst of this thing, so he says, you may as well take him away now when you're to Edinburgh. But he says, then you put your uniform on, he says, go and see it, you see. So that was me. I had to take him to Edinburgh. So I says, get a special to go with you. So I got a man to go with me. I says, you going in inside him to start with him? I says, take turns. He says, I'm not going in there, Alec. I says, what for? Oh, he says, if he wakes up, he says, he'll go for me. I says, no, Alec, I says, right to him. I says, you get in the front side of the driver. Then I says, I'll go in inside him. So I'll go in inside him again and took him to Edinburgh. So everything was all right.
Did he recover?
No, yes, but he died no long after he took him in.
He didn't recover then?
Oh, no, he didn't recover.
Anything else you remember about the war, the Second War, while you were a police?
Oh, well, there's German boat, the German plane came down, a flying boat out there, and the boat picked them up. They called the boat the Pursuit. That was the name of their boat, the sailing boat. Like. So they came into the bay here, you know, right off, you can see and what you call the, they didn't get water in, and that's, the tide was out. We call it water in here, you see, into harbour.
Carry on.
So we thought there was German prisoners on board, you see. So the sergeant, I was in police from then, right? So the sergeant girl says, come on then, Alec. He says, you and I'll have to go out and see about the prisoners. There's four prisoners, you see, in the boat, German. So went down, of course, the tide was out. So we got two of them. We call them punts, flat-bottom, you know, flat-bottom boats. So they pulled the ferries out to the roadstead. The boat was anchored there. So I thought the sergeant would go down and, you know, write their pockets. And so he says to me, Alec, you better go down and give their pockets a go, in case of any ammunition. He didn't go. I said, I said, you go down. So, and there was a great big one there, oh dear me, when I seen him, I just...
Big German,
light hand, you know, the right thick neck and the big... And they just sort of matured the other way, and there's a little fella, he was bothering near the end of the engine. He was sort of broken-hearted, he was crying. Anyway, there's the big one. And I says, any weapons? So... I put my hands all around their face, he could have smothered me, you know, he could have shoved me right into my boots. But anyway, they stood there and I went through all their pockets and the trousers, right into their shoes, one by one. Anyway, I got them all done. So I got them up into the deck. I said, no, they're all clear, Sergeant. I said, right, I said, just bring them up. So I got them up. So he was on the deck there along with a fisherman. So I got them into the boat. Into this punt, you know, and they called the fella Kitty Fisher. He was the younger one, and they called old Bob Maltman. That was the old man that came with the, you know, pull nose, you see. So when I went, Kitty says, he stammered at me, if I'd catch these German bees, he says, I wouldn't have come out for them. He says, I wouldn't have come out for them. So anyway, we got them in. There was a lorry standing on the pier, taking up the police station. So that was that, and then they went to Berwick. After that, you know, Berwick, the soldiers came out and took charge of us. So that was us finished with them. And there were some Norwegians there, came all the way from Norway, and in a little open boat, mind you. The engine conked out so far across, and they did the rest themselves, pulling the oars, and they landed in Eyemouth Harbour. In fact, I've got a pair of pliers for them, for a souvenir, you know, big pliers, but those not. They're hard up part, but it's just the normal day getting them, you know. So they're quite nice. And then the police, they had to go down and examine the thing, you see. And the security, they were there, down to the boat, you see.
To check the Norwegians
Check the Norwegians, all their belongings, see if there's no weapons or anything like that. And they had a revolver. Revolver, and then the security men, he came from Berwick, south of the Coldham, And there was, he had a taxi, and they called the man who was driving the taxi Henderson. And of course, I knew him well. We'd been off in the Berwick station, you see, with the furnace, with my boss. So he says, Alec, come here. Just like that, you know. He says, he brought a revolver out here. I said, sweet. He says, Southie. I said, oh, he did. So I went in. So I says to him, I says, just for the see what to say, I says, anybody taking a revolver from here? I said, there's a revolver. I says, Mason Sergeant. He says, revolver, Alec? I says, aye. I says, I put the revolver on there. I says, it's not there now. So, of course, I knew that Southie would take this. I says, maybe that's Southie, you see. So I went to it and I said, Southie. I said, Mr. Southie, I said, did you take a revolver? He says, well, yes. I says, right, come on, get them here. So that was the revolver. Got Henderson gave me the revolver, you see. Of course, Henderson, I was good pals. I got to put the size of that. So that was about the side of the finish of the prisoners. Berwick came out and took them away, and that was us finished with them.
Right, thank you very much.